Hi friends, welcome to Holy Spirit Soapbox. I'm Dan, I'm your host, and I'm glad you are here. If it's your first time, welcome. If it's your almost 40th time, because we're almost at our 40th episode, welcome back once again. Maybe you've come back 100 times, that's great. We're glad you're here either way. Today we're going to talk about tests. And gosh, do I not like tests. Ever since school, I've been so bad at tests, it's been terrible. It's terrible. But today's episode is about God's tests. Actually, I'm here to essentially tell you that there's only one test that God tests us with. So let's get right into it. We hear countless times that God is testing us. But what is he testing exactly? Right? We hear, or we might say, he's testing my patience during the season, or today, or he's testing me by putting these temptations in front of me. He's trying to see if I'll be loyal to him and loyal to my wife or loyal to my husband. Or maybe we hear things like he's testing us where we have this trouble with finances. Again, the truth of all of this is that there's only one test that God does. And we're going to get to that in a second. But here's a little bit of a background story. My wife and I were watching a sermon the other day by a very well-known pastor, okay? And I won't say who this person was, but I have to say that we maybe, kinda, sorta, only agreed with about 5% of what they said. Now, we don't know everything either, but some of the things you almost have to question. It was very odd what they were saying. And unfortunately, this pastor is very well-known, and lots of people listen to them daily, weekly, whatever. They even have a few TV shows where they constantly present sermons that are ways to get closer to God. Okay, and this all sounds great, but the scariest part of all of this is the false gospel that we're often told. How does everything come back to you versus come back to Jesus? Or what is the power that's within ourselves versus the power of God's work through us? That's very dangerous, to start looking at ourselves as the power, as everything, when God really is, and the Holy Spirit does everything through us. And this isn't a bash session on anybody in particular, especially this pastor, okay? There were very biblical things that they were saying. But one of the things that they said is that God gives us small tests to see if he can trust us with a bigger test. I disagree. The roughly 5% of what the pastor was saying that I agree with is I do believe that we go through events allowed by God, and gifts are given to us to help participate with God. But I don't believe that the tests are all these individual test events to see if he can trust you. I especially don't believe in the whole doing part of this versus the being part of this. Down to our deepest root, we were designed to trust in God, period. And by trusting in God, that is when we see his kingdom come to fruition. Okay, I believe the root of what God gives us as a test, or as the only test, is our trust in him. Because faith is the belief in something we can't see entirely, or can't see at all. And belief equals trust. Trusting that God is going to keep his promises to us, and letting go and letting God work should be our goal. Let's look into the Bible. When we learn in many stories, for instance, God tells Abraham to bring Isaac, his only son that he's been waiting on for so long, to the altar as a sacrifice, God was testing Abraham's trust in God, that God will keep his promise of giving Abraham a son and provide to him many generations. This is Genesis 22, chapter 22. God wasn't testing Abraham to see if he would do it. He was deepening Abraham's trust in him by showing that he, God, will keep his promise. Let's keep looking. In Judges 7, chapter 7, Gideon is told to only take 300 men against this large army of Midianites. He was greatly outnumbered, but his trust in God led them to conquer and win. Essentially, the war was already won. God had already won the war. and trusting in God when God tells Gideon that the war is already won and to only take 300 men versus 32,000 or so, that's the test. Not the actual doing part, it was the trusting part. God was not testing Gideon on his trust in being able to handle a large army with a small army. No, God was showing Gideon and the soldiers that he had that he has already won the battle. And they should trust that he already won and would keep his promise of saving Israel from the hand of Midian. Daniel was never going to be hurt by the lions. Daniel chapter 6. But he had to have the trust that he wasn't going to be. Peter was not going to drown when walking on water, but he had to trust that he wasn't going to drown. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. When his trust broke and fear got in the way, and fear is the lack of trust in God, he started to sink, even though he was never going to drown. The lack of trust in God led to a different consequence. We have to remember that God does not tempt us with sin. So when that pastor was saying all these tests, or when we think we're being tested, tempted by God with these evils, it's not true. It's a lie. He doesn't tempt us with sin ever, and period. That doesn't happen. James chapter 1, verse 13, or verses 13 through 15 says this. And it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Right? Let's go back real quick. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. How do we get evil desires? We stop trusting in God. We stop trusting that God was right when he says, hey, don't do that. It's not good for you. It orients you away from me, which is not good. So we say, no, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you know me better than I know myself. I know I want this and I know I need this. And then it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death, because we continuously stop trusting in God. Well, that felt good. I'm going to keep doing it. I'll do this too. God says not to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I know me better than he knows me. That's a lie. And then it continues to go down that path where you stop trusting in God. And then when you stop trusting in God, you no longer orient towards God. You don't trust him anymore. So it leads to death, or us not wanting eternal life anymore. It doesn't get any more clear than that in the Bible. God allows us to walk away from trusting him. He does. But consequences do occur when we decide to do instead of just be. When things are looking down, struggles of relationships, issues and staleness with ministry maybe, lack of patience, the list goes on. All of that starts within humans and not God. Sometimes we sit in the current season where we feel like we're not moving forward with participation with God. However, God is working, no matter how much you feel like he's not. I want to readdress the other portion of what that pastor was saying, where we're given these little tests to see if he can trust us with a bigger test. I disagree. To say that is saying that God doesn't know where our heart is at this moment. That's like saying God doesn't know everything. That's like saying God doesn't know if he can trust you right now. Since when? He knows everything. If you gave your life up to Jesus Christ, to him, if you accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, he knows where your heart is. Now, he might allow us to be tested by our own decisions to start building our trust in him. That might happen. But trust is the root of our relationship with God. And you probably heard that trust is the most important aspect of every relationship, whether it be a spouse, a friend, a family member. But the same goes for our relationship with God. We also have to understand that when we all accept Christ, we've also accepted the Holy Spirit. So now it's no longer our faith that we have to practice or actually do. Faith comes with trusting that God is doing the work in us and through us. Faith is understanding God's heart through what Jesus did here on earth in the flesh and after resurrection. Faith is allowing God to work, which leads to trusting in Him. So to sum all of this up, no, God is not testing your patience. He's allowing things, or He might allow things to happen in your impatience to build your trust in Him. And no, God is not testing you with temptations and sin. He doesn't do that. And no, God is not testing to see if He can figure out if your faith is big enough to take on a large task in participation. God knows you already. He knows you better than you know yourself. The word test means He doesn't know what's going on with you. For instance, we test students to understand where they are at a certain point, and that is not what God is doing. He's not testing you like, here, fill this multiple choice thing out. I need to see where you're at right now and see if I can trust in you. No. He's just asking that you allow yourself to get to know Him and trust that He will fulfill all of the things that He has promised that He will do. God's an encourager, not a tester. He's a teacher to build us up, not to flunk us or measure us up to impossible standards. The tests and challenges lie within us. We just need to start trusting in Him in every single aspect of our lives. Now, I have four verses I would love for you to meditate on. Now, we talked about Daniel, we talked about Abraham, we talked about Peter, Gideon, and basically every story in the Bible solidifies that trust is the deepest root of our relationship with God. So these four verses will help solidify even more. If you don't have a pen and paper, no problem. They're in the description. Feel free to revisit later. And here they are. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And finally, three questions. These are in the description as well if you want to revisit them later. But here they are. Question one, how do you now understand what it means to trust in God? Question two, how can trusting that God is doing everything that needs to be done for His will to be done change your perspective on the current season that you're in? And question three, what can we do every day to ensure that we keep our trust in God? So thank you again for joining. You're such a blessing to us. Seriously, you really are. And you're such a blessing to God. He created you and He loves you. He loves you so much. And I really want to pray over everybody here, all of you listeners out there. Feel free to take a prayer posture, whatever that looks like. But let's talk to God. Our Father, thank you for giving us a name that we can hold higher than any other name. We thank you also for giving us the opportunity to hear your word and see your work in everything that we do and say. We ask you, guide us gently to trust in you more and more each and every day. And we know that in you and with you and through you, all things will come to be according to your will. We ask that you continue to show us where we fall short in temptation so that we can discard those things and trust in you even more after all the tribulations and struggles that we go through. We ask and pray these things for all of us in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.